back to the Kingdom Builders podcast. We are excited to be recording via Zoom with some of our Kingdom Builders today. But first, let's have our host say hello. I'm Jason.
I'm Christine.
And she's Kim and she's muted. I'm Kim and I'm muted.
I'm sorry, I had a dog barking in my room and so I muted for Jason.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
But I am Kim and I am your host and I am now unmuted. So
that's right. Please. And we are missing Lisa and we are missing Josh today, but I know they'll be back soon. And we'd like to also welcome Amanda to the podcast. Amanda, would you like to say hello?
Hello, everybody.
Good to have you. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Awesome. So I'm pretty excited about our topic today, but before we dive into that, you know what time it is. It's time for our shout out.
Yeah.
And so we want to give a shout out to some of our newest patrons. And so who's going to do it?
I'm going to do it. This is Chris. So I am excited that we had, okay, so last time, I have to just say this, right in the middle of our podcast, we had another person join. And so she even was on the podcast, but came on right like after the shout out. So we have to give her a shout out. And that is Teresa. Welcome as a new Kingdom Builder. And also we have Darlene who joined us as a Kingdom Builder later too.
Whoop, whoop.
Yes.
We are so grateful for those who are partnered through Patreon with the Kingdom Builders Ministry. Kim, you're always really great at talking about what the ministry is about and the great perks of being a patron. Do you want to do that?
Absolutely. So Kingdom Builders is essentially this group that we've put together. We have a patron page, which is patreon.com/kingdombuilders. You can check us out. You can join for pretty much any dollar amount. I think it's $2 and up. There are different tiers. So you can check that out yourself. But really what we want to do is we're just wanting to join forces with the body of Christ and connect with people, make community around seeking the Father together, being united in Yeshua and really walking shoulder to shoulder as we walk out our own destinies and the destiny of the kingdom. So that's kind of who we are and what we do. There are different perks that happen throughout the month. So there's bonus content for patrons. One of those things being that you get to join us on the podcast. Second being, there is extended content from the podcast every month that is for patrons only. We also are now having a once a month group engaging session together. So this is where we all log into Zoom. We focus on the Lord and we seek him together. Sounds like group prayer, but it's deeper than that. And we've had groups in the past who have done this together. And I know that this is the thing that most of that community really is looking for. So that's one new thing. It started last month. You can have that at any dollar amount too as a patron. Just as long as you're signing up and becoming part of that community, then you'll get the link and the code and all the things to be able to join us.
Awesome. Thank you for knocking that out of the park. You did a great job.
Can I add a couple things?
Sure.
So I get really excited about some of the other tiers. Okay, Kim, basically everything she said is the sweetest part of just being a patron because you get so much for very little. But if you want to invest and you want to sow into Kingdom Builders and partner with us in a different way, my very favorite is tier three. And that is where you get to invest and you get to have a once a month meeting with our Kingdom Builders. And so I love this so much. It's two of us and you get to choose who it is that you want to meet with, but we get to partner together and really get to know each other. And it's more like family. And that's probably my favorite because it's
very personal. And it's also, it's just basically whatever anyone wants to meet about. If you just want to meet and chat and have fellowship, it's great. If you're like, I need some inner healing going on, then we do that. If it's like, hey, I just want to grow in my identity with the Lord, then we do that. And so I just love that part. It's really my favorite. I also think it's cool that at tier two, you get to have all of the bonus content from all of the conferences we've done. And you also get the free live streaming tickets. And so that's pretty cool. I love that too. But anyway, I just want to add that because it's something that's kind of close to my heart, especially doing all the one-on-one meetings, or I guess one-on-two technically.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's been really cool to, as I've been more involved with Kingdom Builders lately, to see the community and get to see those people online again. And it really is extended family. And there's a lot that the Lord is doing in different places, but we're all tied together, all being His. And so that's awesome. I love that part. So I'll be introducing our topic today. I feel like when I'm on, I usually do that. but today's topic really stems from, I have people who will email me or message me certain things and ask me a question and say, hey, what do you think about this? Or I heard somebody say that. And I get kind of drug into these, I don't want to call them arguments, but discussions about faith and spirituality. And anyways, I remembered a scripture earlier today, and then I shared it with Christine, and we got to talking about it. And we're like, wait, save the content for the podcast. So the scripture is Isaiah 43:25. And so I'm going to read it to you, kind of give a couple of thoughts. And then as always, you guys weigh in and tell me what you think. But really, this is focusing on the love of the Father. And that's such a big topic in the kingdom. Obviously, God is love. But I feel like we could talk about this kind of stuff all the time and never get tired of it. Isaiah 43:25, it says, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. And it just, the thing that really stood out to me in this scripture is that the Father saying, yes, I'm going to blot out your transgressions. I'll remember your sins no more. That's going to happen. But there's this little phrase in there that I think we just kind of glance over. And I think there's something a lot deeper and more meaningful there. He says, for my own sake. And so why is it that the Father blots out our transgressions and remembers our sins no more for His own sake? Now, it's not to say that there's not benefit for us. Like, to receive the forgiveness of the Father is a huge deal, and it does wonders for us to be loved unconditionally, to not be bound by law, to not have a record of our sins, right? Love holds no record of wrongs. But what is the benefit? And before I give my thoughts on it, I want to ask you all, what do you think is the Father's benefit for forgiving our sins and blotting out our transgressions? He says, for my own sake. So what do you think that's about?
To me, I think it is a benefit to Him for having nothing that's standing in between Him and His creation. So there are no obstacles there. So he takes them away. He blots them out. He removes them so that there is no obstruction from His creation coming to Him as the Father. That's my opinion.
You know, I was thinking about this a lot before, and this is something that I feel like I relate to Him in this way a lot. Whether I should or not, I'm not 100% sure, but I tell you what, when I forgive somebody for something, most of the time it doesn't affect them nearly as much as it affects me. So even if it's someone super close to me, like if it's my husband, I mean, he might get to feel a little better. He might even get less nagging. But for me, it's like, I don't have this bitterness in my heart. I don't have something this wrath inside. I don't have anything that's burning me up because I've let it go. And I have said, that's not who they are. That's just what happened, and it's done and it's gone. And when I do that, I feel like it just makes me feel better. And so I know Father probably could feel however he wanted, but clearly throughout the scriptures, we have him feeling a million different ways. So he has wrath against people, right? And then someone says something, he's like, oh, okay, I'll forgive that. Never mind. And so he does that a lot, just like I do. And I know Jason and I, we talked about how we're made in the Father's image, and we are so much like him that we forget. Really, we just see us as human and him as this faraway thing that is unattainable to be as awesome as him. But the truth is, we're just like him. And so if we're wired like he is, then we're going to feel that wrath. And if we're mature, then we're going to let it go. And we're going to diffuse it. That's kind of how I look at it anyway.
Yeah, I agreed. And I think that what I was kind of struggling with, so I guess moment of vulnerability. I have a lot of anger sometimes. And when somebody does something wrong to me, or I see somebody do something wrong to someone else, it infuriates me. And I typically need a cooling off period. And it's kind of funny because I was like, I don't know if I should say this. Maybe I just should embrace full heretic. But I wonder if the Old Testament is like God's cooling off period, because we really see where he unleashes a ton of wrath and destroys everybody except for Noah's family. And then he, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, and people like to talk about that. And he, and the Amalekites and the whateverites and all those people, they're destroyed. And so you see some of this wrath come through. And, you know, depending on who you talk to, it's justice and that kind of thing. But the Father always gave a way out, you know. And in the end, we see Christ on the cross, and the greatest offense to God throughout all of history was nailing him to the cross and killing him, God in the flesh, like, we're going to kill you. We don't like you. We hate you, actually. And then as he hangs on the cross, he says, forgive them, they know not what they do. And so then there's this forgiveness that follows through. If we still had the full wrath of God, then Jesus would have came off the cross, called down the legions, and then like wiped everybody out and been like, ah, you know, like, you guys are getting what you deserve kind of thing. But so I experienced this love wrath thing inside of me. And once I cool off, I tend to move towards love. And there are other people who move towards love quicker, but there's an overcoming of the wrath, you know. And I think about the scriptures that say, you know, love covers a multitude of sin. So there's a ton of transgression. There's a ton of things, offense that happens towards God, but his love ultimately covers all of that. But it's the love that quells the wrath. And so if I'm upset with somebody, I can usually forgive and move forward before they change anything about themselves, right? So it's like, either I can sit around and wait for somebody to be different and continue to store up wrath as long as they're not changing, or I can choose to love and forgive, and that quells my wrath and my anger, and they're still the same. And that's love, essentially, is there's no law that you have to live up to in order for me to love you. And so I just think about all that, and I'm like, okay, maybe I am a little bit more like the Father than I think, that there's this wrath that comes up, but then there's this love. I desire mercy, right? This is true justice, to give mercy, to show love. And so anyways, these are just thoughts that I've had. And it just pushes me more towards like, hey, maybe I am loving, I'm just not quick loving. You know, maybe I do love, I just don't love fast, but which gives me hope that I at least move towards love eventually, and that I'm not somebody who I had mentioned earlier, when wrath wins through mankind, then that's when you see atrocities, and that's when you see injustice, and that's when you see murder and hate and strife and division and all these things, is when the wrath overcomes the love. But we're of the Father, and as he leads us and guides us, love overcomes wrath, you know?
You know, I was thinking about something regarding this just now. Okay, there was someone that I know who wrote something that really ticked me off, okay? I'm just going to be honest here. I'm going to just put it out there, y'all, okay? So this person wrote stuff about people doing... basically talking about free love and talking about the perversion and how that God would call down wrath like Sodom and Gomorrah. And I got really angry at this because not that God can't do wrath, but when he did that with Sodom and Gomorrah and he actually poured out his wrath, it was because of the horrible rape that was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. The kind of rape that was happening is what people focus on, which is the homosexual stuff. But what really was happening was terrible rape to anyone who would come into the city, and they were desperate to rape people and do like gangbang raping. Okay. Now, the reason the Father actually poured out his wrath was because he was saving the people who were getting hurt. So what he was doing by actually pouring out the wrath was saving the people who were getting hurt, the innocent victims. That's what was happening. But I'll tell you what, he is not going to pour out wrath on, I'm just going to say this out loud. You can argue with me and that's cool. Do your thing. But I don't believe that Father is going to pour out wrath on just being homosexual. I don't think that. Now, do I think that there's a better way? I do. I absolutely do. But Father would blot out the transgression and be completely overcome with love when someone goes and does something that isn't best for them. When it's something that is destroying and hurting another person, he will stop that from happening. And so I look at this as very different. There are things that we do where, for instance, when I said I was so ticked off at this person, that was a problem with me, okay? Because that's one of those things that I had to go, wait a second, I need to be like the Father, and I need to go, they don't understand. It's not that big of a deal. You know, I know that they can be forgiven for their bad theology, okay? And I can be forgiven for my bad theology, and anyone can be forgiven for their bad theology. It's not that big a deal. It's worth blotting out the sin, right? I don't need to hold some sort of anger against my brother for disagreeing with me. And by the way, I didn't even respond to that. It was just one of those things in my heart, I responded. And so I know Father will also blot that out in me and say, look, that's gone. That's done. It's not a big deal. And I can do that with that person who had something I disagreed with. I can go, I love you. I love you. I want the best for you. I want you to grow. I want all that, instead of going, there has to be separation. Because what that does when we get into the division, when we disagree with people, then it starts putting these bad walls in our hearts that isn't love. And if we're going to be like our Father, we got to be about the love. So anyway, go ahead, Kim, I can see.
I completely agree. I think there's something in here that we have to really ask ourselves as followers of Christ, as sons of Yahweh, as people who carry the spirit of the Christ in us. We have to ask ourselves, is it our responsibility to condemn anything that we see as not being what's best according to the Father? I know that we have a calling in a sense to be judges, but is it to condemn? And I think this is where some people have gotten off track with this. The Father says, I'm the one who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. He doesn't say, I'm the one who condemns you for my sake. And so if we're really out there doing the work of our Father, is it our position to go and condemn those whom we believe are wrong, as opposed to going to the Father and saying, hey, what should we be doing about this? Is there anything we should be doing about this? And honestly, most of the time when that kind of stuff happens, if you go to the Father, he's going to tell you to love them anyway. I was in that same conversation, and this was the issue with the free love comment, is that that is his solution, is free love to everyone, whether deserving or not. Like, that is the commandment that has been kept, and that even Yeshua said, the law has been completed, but here it can all be summed up in this one. It is love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And it is about love. It is not about the trying to push people down, or say that they are worthy of wrath or any of these things. That isn't displaying the love. That isn't walking in that. That isn't opening the door to relationship. That is closing it and locking it and throwing away the key.
You know, it's when you think about people that you really love in your life, they also have the power, essentially, to make you really angry. And if you didn't love them so much, you wouldn't care, right? The opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference. It's not caring at all. And, you know, the Father does love us. And when we sin, miss the mark, whatever you want to call it, you know, there is the disappointment, this isn't the best, right? Like, this is not the best that I have for you, but you just really don't know yet. And there's, you know, there's the wrath that I think is a fruit of the love, if that makes sense, right? Like, I'm so angry because I love you and I want what's best and I know there's better and I want you to be with me. I don't want the separation. I don't want the strife. I want the shalom. I want to be one with you, but your actions are causing division and it infuriates me. And so it's interesting to know that we can love so much, so somebody or anyone so much in one moment and then be so angry. But then we shift back towards the love side. And so there's this kind of thing at play where it's just like, I love you so much. You made me upset. Now I'm really angry, but I love you so much. And now you've made me upset again. So now I'm really angry, but I love you so much. And so we're always drawn back by love. And I think that's what people need to know. Most people don't need more. They don't need to know more law about how they're missing the mark. Like, a lot of people will know they're wrong, or if they don't think they're wrong, but then we try and yell in the ear that they're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong. But that's not what they need. We see the Father's great love, that, you know, the Father loved us so much that while we were sinners, he died for us. And I mean, that's the gospel, right? It's like, even in the separation, even in when we didn't get it totally, he still made the sacrifice to be with us and to make a way. And so it's just, it's this crazy thing that exists to where the love and the wrath that exist, but how we're always drawn back to love. And I feel like I'm going in circles now, but that's the thing that gets me the most, is that you can love and be upset so much, so extremely sometimes. But I think that's a reflection of who the Father is, and he's made us in his image, and we experience what he experiences, and we learn from it.
I think that's really powerful. And, you know, I was thinking about a situation I just went through recently, and I was helping a friend who was trying to kill himself. And, you know, the only thing that was bringing him back was poured out love. And then the cops showed up. That was not, he did not need to be told that he could go to jail for hurting himself. Okay. That was not helpful at all. For trying to kill himself, that's against the law. Who gives a crap? Okay. That's not what it's about. Is that going to help somebody for the police to show up and arrest you if you're suicidal? It's not going to help. But is poured out love going to help? That's the only thing that will help. And that is how we have to be with everyone. And you know, when people hurt us, like you were talking about, Jason, I don't only get mad. I get like this weird, I want to separate, but it's not always about mad. It's just hurt. And I can be, I'm going to cry. I can be hurt so bad. I don't want anything to do with a person. But love has to overcome it. It has to be, it doesn't matter how many times I get hurt, I'll still keep coming back because that's what the Father does for us. He doesn't let us go after a couple times of hurting him. He says, I'm not going to count that anymore. I'm coming back again. And then he doesn't keep bringing up the past. If you have stuff that is coming up over and over, because of the past, either how you've been hurt or whatever, that's a problem with you. I'm just going to tell you that. That is not the Lord saying you're terrible. Or maybe he's bringing up your own sin. It's not the Lord doing it. He has erased the sin already. It's your body or your mind or your spirit going, I'm not healed yet. I'm not healed yet. And sometimes we can be fully forgiven and not healed. And so we have to go through the process of being with the Father and letting the Father pour out his love on us so that we can be in full relationship. And if we feel like we're separated from him, it's a lie. It's one of those things that he says, I'm not separating from you. You're the one doing it. You're the one thinking that we're separated when we're really together. And so we have to remember that he does it for his own sake. He wants us to be together. He wants us to have good relationship with him. This isn't something that he says, well, not now because I can't be in the same room as sin. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but that was preached to me when I was young, that God can't be in the same room as sin. That is not true. Yeshua completely took all of our sin. That's as close as you can get. Like he took it all for the Father so that the Father and we could be together. And it's just, hey, I'm going to take it all so it can be wiped clean. And it wasn't so it could only wipe my sins clean. It's so he could do it for all of the world. Imagine, okay, I'm going to get into more weird theology. You guys, I love doing this, even though you guys think I'm probably nuts. But I believe that the Father did it for all of his creation, that he redeemed already all of his creation, that Yeshua's sacrifice wasn't just for those who acknowledge it, that it's actually for everyone. And when we acknowledge it is when we get to experience the freedom and we get to have that right relationship with the Lord that brings us close and allows us to be loved. And so that's the reason to evangelize, not as some sort of fire insurance. It's so that people can have the freedom and the healing from trauma and to get rid of this demonic oppression. You know, we were talking to, I don't know if she'll want to do this, but we were talking to one of the kingdom builders right before we started here. And what happened to her is different than a lot of people. And what I think she was talking about her alcoholism that she used to, I would say that used to have a hold on her. And she says, I don't have an addiction anymore. And I want to say, amen, you're right. Quit calling yourself addicts, people, if you're already free from it. But anyway, she was talking about this, and I just thought, wow, a lot of other people got free from AA and stuff like that, right? You can go through these 12-step things and do that. And, you know, that's fine. But what that is like doing it yourself. It's constantly like works-based getting free yourself. How hard can I work to get free from what I'm struggling with? And that's probably why nobody calls themselves free and they always call themselves an addict, is because it's really, you can't get free like that. But if the Lord does it and he takes it, you can experience true freedom and you can experience no more addiction. So I just want to ask, I don't want to call you out or anything, but would you share your story?
Sure. It's me, Amanda. when I was, after I submitted my life to Christ, there was a part of my life where I started drinking, which I had a history of drinking that was part of, it's kind of like a, it's in my bloodlines, it was just something that was part of my heritage too. You know, I mean, I grew up in that environment and we didn't see anything wrong with it. But after I just totally submitted my life to Christ, then I knew that I shouldn't be out drinking and going to the parties and going to clubs and stuff like that. And I started doing it and I couldn't really control it anymore. Not that I could ever control it before, I just thought I could, but in actuality, I couldn't control it. And I didn't really think that I was an alcoholic, but it, you know, the addiction was truly there. And so I just remember crying out to God and just saying, how can I serve you? And how can I be a testimony for others if I am going to church, ministering to others, and then after church, you know, somebody calls me and they're like, let's go party. And then I go party and I'm drinking and getting drunk. And it was making me really sick too. And so I remember the morning that morning after I had gone out and I woke up and I could just feel like this deep in my stomach, just this, like, it was just coming up like a burp and just coming up. And I was just, you know, just praying, talking to God and just talking about, you know, that I can't drink anymore. And I just remember that this thing that was coming up from inside my stomach just left me. And I could just feel that spirit just leave my body. And from that time, which it's been, I believe, oh, I think 13, I don't know, it was 2006. So, but from that day forward, I never had a desire for alcohol. I couldn't smell alcohol. But there have been times where I have been hit with the desire, and I know that it's not me. I know that it's just the enemy throwing darts at me and just putting that in my mind. And when I went through a divorce, you know, he started putting things in my mind about me going out and partying and stuff like that. And, but I truly agree with what you said, Christine, about the AA. When we go into the prisons to minister to others and I talk about it, I have encountered other women that have said, you know, what if I know that I'm no longer an alcoholic? I know I'm no longer an addict. I don't claim that in my life. I know that I've been healed and delivered. And, you know, all the other girls, you know, because they're always talking about how you need that type of support. You need to be in AA. But if you don't view yourself as an addict or an alcoholic, you know, having that addiction, I mean, I feel like that's not who I am. That's not who Christ said I am. I know what my identity in Christ is, and I know that I'm not an alcoholic. I've been healed. I've been delivered from that.
Oh, that's so good. Thank you, Amanda. And amen. I just want to say, yes, let that be how we all are, that we don't take our former hang-ups, no matter what they are, and we don't identify with them. that's not what the Lord says. I mean, he says, you need to identify with who I created you to be. I would say, even if you're in the midst of some sort of addiction or addictive behavior, don't embrace it. Don't say, yeah, I want to identify with this. Say, no, that's not who I am. And you have to speak into who God created you to be. And you have to do it over your husbands and your wives and your sisters and your brothers and your kids. You have to speak into who they're meant to be, not over the sin. The sin doesn't define them because it's been blotted out already. And so go ahead, Dottie, that'd be great.
When I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I was pregnant with my now 30-year-old daughter. And God just supernaturally, I don't think it was just because I was pregnant, because I was already the designated driver, supernaturally took away the desire to ever get drunk. I could still have a glass of wine, but I took like a sip of this much wine. And I was like, ooh, I'm feeling it already. And Mark's like, did you even drink it? I said, yeah, they had put up higher, but no, I just, but I could probably count the number of glasses of wine I've had in the 30 years. I just never wanted to drink. And even though I had peer pressure around my family, but I always wondered, why didn't he take away the desire to overeat sweets? Because the sugar addiction with the Haley family, oh, the Haleys like sweets. And I would say, oh yeah, I'm a chocoholic. It's like, no, I tell people, don't say you're a diabetic. You have diabetes perhaps, or you're dealing with, you know, you're not supposed to say you are the disease or the problem that you're struggling with or even handed down in your family. And so I stopped saying I'm a chocoholic, and I still criticize myself like, oh, why do I do this? You know, but I always fled from sin was the thing, but I didn't submit to God first and then resist the enemy. And today, when I came back from Mark and I just went to the beach to watch the beach for just a few minutes after church. And we came here and he's like, what do we have those dissolved mints, you know, that melt in your mouth? Well, I get all kinds of different peppermints for Teen Challenge. And so, but I thought he was talking about the thin mint the chocolates, not thin mint cookies. Yes, we had those. It's artificial chocolate. It doesn't taste good. So you eat it looking for that satisfaction that never comes, because even in a roll of thin mint cookies, you can't get the satisfaction as a Snickers bar would. But you know, those York peppermint patties? Well, I had pushed them out of sight in the bottom of the pantry with the paper towel rolls in front of it. So I'm like, okay, let me move this stuff out. His sister's over. We're going to play cards. Oh, you're hiding them? And I started, he says, no, that's not it. The ones that dissolve in your mouth, the bubble mints. I'm like, oh, let me put these away, please. Because, and I was tempted, because usually when we play games, we play cards, playing president, I'll go ahead and grab some candy. I didn't. I was like, okay, God, you're doing something in me, and you're wanting me to just go to you. And listening to Graham Cook's message on really seeking him, so to the point, I listened to it for an hour and 40 minutes, but it's an hour and 40 minutes long. I listened to it for 2 hours, kept trying to take notes, to the point where you'll suffer in Christ's suffering when you've been given a prophecy and everything looks like you're going the opposite way, like Joseph, you're prophetic, and then now he's in the pit and everybody else is above, and people don't want to be around you and all this stuff. And then because he wants you to be all about him and be able to deal with people coming at you when you're in your ministry. And don't rely on the criticism or the praises. Don't let either of them affect you of man. And so I thought, how do I go all in to God? So I'm saying this knowing that there's some right out there, and I'm committing myself to just, you know, by saying it, how could I really face myself in the mirror by just going right back out there and do that? Not that I can't have one, but I have an issue with stopping at one. So I always wondered, why did he leave that for me? Maybe because as a child, I would go towards sweets when I was hurt. So he has an inner healing. Like when you said, there's something that's still not healed, I'm forgiven, but I'm not healed. And people say all the other sins, but they don't talk about food enough. And it's gluttony and it's not receiving God. So it's big on me. And you know, when it's in your bloodline, and you can break that off your bloodline right now. So I do that too. I understand what she was talking about, because I grew up with alcohol too.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Well, you guys, I know that we went a little bit longer today. We try to keep these fairly short, but I want to say that we're going to dive in deeper. We have a patron-only going deeper from the podcast topic that is going to be done right after this, and we'll post it to the patron site. So thank you guys for joining us. We have Dottie and Nidia and Teresa and Amanda, and I'm sorry not everyone got to speak, but I just want to say we value you. We really appreciate you. And absolutely, let's partner together in a couple weeks in engaging heaven together too.
Yep. I wanted to say one last thing, and it doesn't have to do with the topic. So not everybody got to give their thoughts, and we always want to hear from people. So if you have anything that's kind of lingering that you want to share with us, shoot us an email. We have a Gmail account. It's sourcekingdombuilders@gmail.com. And we'd love to get some feedback or some response from you with anything of any of our podcast. But those of you that are on Zoom, thank you so much for joining us. And you can leave some of your additional thoughts in our email if you'd like.
Thank you, guys.
All right. We'll see you next time.